Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. This is one of my first video and podcast videos. Today we're talking to Tank at The Tech Tank. Super interesting guy, and I'm excited to just chat to him and find out his story. He is a tech reviewer in South Africa and doing really, really well. So I thought we'd kind of scratch his brain and find out his secrets. Hey man, how's it going?
Hey guys. It's me, Tech Tank, I guess. I'm really happy to finally be speaking to you.
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, actually I reached out to you. So I'm busy looking for a laptop, and then I watched like countless videos, and then you've got a bit of an American accent, but then I was like, there's a bit of South African in there. I was super stoked to see a South African doing this, and you're getting good viewership and all that kind of thing. So selfish point of view, I was like, I wonder how he's doing all that. And
well, it's mostly just doing well over time, just because reviews do that.
Yes.
Like, until the product gets like discontinued or something, people will keep searching for it.
Yes.
And I think that's like what I'm focusing on most right now, is just getting that stable growth.
Okay, cool.
And reviews are perfect for that.
Yeah, I mean, well, we can jump right into that, because the thing that I'm really struggling with, because like I'm a musician, I've got my business, and then I'm really passionate about cameras, and like I've always had this dream to be a tech reviewer. So that's like a lot of topics to cover in one channel, you know?
Oh yeah.
I definitely have noticed like guys like yourself who niche down like very extremely. And when I spend, let's say for instance, a month just doing like, let's say my Panasonic G9, my viewership, maybe not my subscribers, but definitely my viewers go up, and the views of the videos go up. So it's definitely a strategy. Is that your strategy?
I don't think I really have a strategy per se. I kind of just do whatever I want and whatever I'm like forced to, just because tech is so time sensitive.
Yes.
Like the 30 series cards from Nvidia are launching now.
Yeah.
And it is destroying me. Like, I've just gotten another card in. I'm expecting another one in a few days.
I see.
And so I'm just going with the flow mostly. Yeah. But the focus right now is to just do reviews as priority. And then if I have the time, do some other stuff that I'm actually might be more interested in.
Okay.
Like just fun videos. But
yeah,
it's a little hard to fit that in with the reviews.
Okay, so you've put the reviews as priority, and it's almost forced you to be very niche for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Like I was saying before we started, like I think we've got a similar subscriber base, but you're getting like incredible amounts of views compared to me. I mean, my last three videos, I don't think have cracked 200 yet.
That's one of the things I was actually wanted to talk to you about, because I watch people like you who actually know what they're doing camera wise.
Okay.
And your presentation style is great. Like, I think if you did more vlog style videos, I would think of you like the South African Casey Neistat.
Okay, cool.
Just, I don't know. It's the vibe I get from it. But it's people like you who do really good work. And then I look at the views and I'm like, this doesn't match up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why these people who are clearly much more knowledgeable about what they're doing and better, in my opinion, at what they're doing.
And they're
not getting the views I think they should be.
Yeah.
It's strange. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really sure either, because, I mean, I've been pushing really hard at this for a long time. I'm also not sure. I mean, and some of my, like you say, and I think what you've done is you've gone through my feed and looked at some of the videos that are really good. I mean, like, why has he got 50 views on this video, you know? And it really sucks.
Just like that 40-hour challenge video thing that you sent in, I'm not sure what the title of that was, but that was shot so beautifully, and there was a story to it and everything like that. Like, obviously, it's a more newer video, so it'll probably get a lot more views over time.
Yeah.
But I would expect something like that to get like thousands of views on initial launch day.
Yes.
Like, weird, if I were to do that, I would be so annoyed if I didn't get like at least somewhat of a good viewership on the initial
thousands.
Release.
Yeah. I think some people look at me and go, why the hell is he still doing it? You know, because it's a lot of work. It kind of supplements my my business, like the awareness of who I am and what I do. So like,
for
okay,
sure.
we're interviewing me now, but like I started a social media business and I made the decision very early on because like, I mean, I'm sure you also saw this is South Africa and Africa and like a lot of the sort of what like used to be classified as like third world countries back in the day are still very untapped and are coming into the market in terms of internet. And like, I mean, I see people like low income people sitting on the pavement watching YouTube on their phone. So it's about to boom and is booming now. And so I saw that and I decided, you know what, if I'm going to be a social media guy, I should be a social media expert. And I started a YouTube channel, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. Countries like ours are super untapped. Like that's why I think I'm able to do what I do right now is just because I'm one of like maybe four YouTubers in the entire South Africa who's just like doing tech stuff exclusively.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if we're getting into that part yet, but like getting companies to notice you is a lot easier in South Africa than you might think.
Yes.
Like I think I reached out to one of the companies that actually sends me stuff regularly when I hit 1,000 subs.
Okay.
And that was like, wow. Like I only have 1,000 subs. I'm getting stuff that Linus and all those other tech people are getting.
Exactly. Well, that's like, what I saw. And I'm
how is this happening? Yes.
Yeah. Well done to you for doing that and seeing that. It's like, and I fully agree. I don't know if you noticed, but those videos also don't get a lot of views, but you know, I'm sure you know some of your stuff is like evergreen, where it's going to constantly get views. And so I also reached out recently to a small headphone. These are the ones I'm using now. And I have a coupon code in in my videos. I make more from those coupon codes, and it's not a lot of money, but I make more with that than I have ever made with my YouTube channel with, you know, AdSense and all that stuff.
Completely understand that. I actually watched that video just now.
Okay, cool.
They actually look really good.
Like, cool.
I'm
thanks,
just
man.
Doing these bulky things because my Samsung ones just wouldn't work. I would love to get something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the audio is coming through now, but these are the latest ones, and they're really good, man. Yeah.
They sound great, dude.
Yeah.
They're the mic you're using right now, right?
Yes.
Perfect sound.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway. Yeah, so it's interesting that you managed to do that even with 1,000 subs. Eh?
Yeah, because that was the whole thing for me is I wanted to build something first before reaching out to people. And that's where I think a lot of people make their mistakes early on is when they might have 100 subs and get maybe 50 views per video. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, sponsor me. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to actually have something to offer companies before I actually reach out to them.
Yeah.
Because I have this thing in me where I want to under-promise and over-deliver no matter what.
Yeah.
So as soon as I felt like I had something to offer, I went to MSI, I think, and we arranged the meeting and the guy was like, let's just do this. And I think that first day he sent me off with like two or three products. And I was like,
and you just started this is happening. Out. Wow, well done, man. It's exciting. I think it also depends on the industry. Like for instance, with the like PC components and laptop industry, just looking for a laptop, I realized, oh my gosh, the amount of information available via YouTube is incredible. But that being said, there's so like guys like you are few and far between because a lot of the guys are just taking a chance. You know, there's not a lot of guys who like, I think I watched a workstation laptop video of yours and that's where I kind of made connection with you. And it was the first video about that laptop that I was like, oh, okay, it's not for me. Like, you know, everyone else just kind of goes through the features, thumbs up at the end. And so even with the oversaturation, there's still room in the market. So
it's actually kind of unfortunate that you found me through that particular video.
Okay.
Because when the notebook division of MSI reached out to me, they were like, do you want to do this workstation review? I'm like,
okay.
I have no idea
what a workstation is.
Well, you did a great job, I must say.
Beforehand.
Yes.
But like, even with the benchmarks in that video, I was sure to point out that I have no idea what these benchmarks mean.
But that was great. I was like, okay.
But if they apply to you, then you know what they mean. So judge from that.
Yeah.
So it was just a weird one. Just the first time I actually ever worked with workstation hardware, so flew by the seat of my pants.
Yeah. Well, as a side note to anyone looking for a video editing laptop, like those Quadro things, they're great, but they're like way overpriced for what they give you. Like, I've realized gaming laptops 100%. Are the best for video editing because the gaming laptops are the most of everything, and that's kind of what video editing needs as well. So anyway.
Yeah, so that's the conclusion. It's just NVIDIA trying to squeak out a little more money by creating drivers specific to the Quadro cards.
Yes.
Forcing you to buy those if you want these specific features.
Yes.
But unfortunately for them, for people like us who do editing and just other general workflow stuff, we don't need those special features.
Yes.
So just going for a gaming one is just makes so much more sense.
Yeah. And they're getting cheaper and cheaper. So because obviously people watching this are definitely going to be curious, is you speak with a bit of an American accent, but you have the surname Miller. So there's definitely a story there. So how's the connection? Did you like live in America for a long time? You know, how did you end up here?
I've been wondering the same thing myself. I have never lived in America. I have never actually spoken to an American until I started working for UFD Tech. And that was only for a year. And I had the accent before then. I have no idea. TV. I'm blaming it on TV.
Yes.
Okay. It has to be TV.
Yeah. Fascinating, man. How old are you now?
28.
Okay.
Just turned 28 a few days ago.
Okay. No, because I'm just noticing like they're younger and younger. As the generations come up, like more and more kids are learning their English from television and like homeschooling. And I think with the homeschooling and TV, it's getting even more like that, you know. So, okay, that's interesting.
I think the curious thing is just that I never spoke English at home or at school or anywhere. Well, so the only time I ever heard English being spoken, it was through TV, through games and just media in general, but I never actually got to use it until I like started having friend groups that were actually speaking English.
All right.
So I have no idea how it developed. People think I'm South African sometimes and American other times. And then when I tell them, they don't believe me. So I don't know.
Well,
but I promise I am South African.
Yeah. Well, I must say I think it's quite interesting. And I think from the YouTube perspective, I think it gives you a little bit of accessibility straight off the bat because we're so used to the American accents. And so for me, I was like, oh, just another American reviewer. And then I saw the .co.za in the link and then I was like, oh, South Africa. So it kind of, it almost caught me in my bias where if I hear a South African accent, then I like trust it less, you know, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, who's this idiot now? You know? So
like there are certain South African accents that I'm just like instantly like it hurts.
Yeah, shame. I don't know, man. Maybe we should cut that part out. I don't know, but it's funny. But I kind of, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's our history or whatever, but people just don't always find us to be the most trustworthy bunch. I don't know what it is.
I mean, we're cast as villains more often than anything else in movies. So.
That's really bad. Yeah. So maybe we have Hollywood to blame. Because you say you're a big gamer and all that kind of thing. What led you to the point of like saying, okay, YouTube, I'm going to do this thing?
Honestly, it was just opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Like, I originally started out, like, I wanted to do the whole university thing, but I didn't know what I was like going there for, so I just went for a BA general or something.
Okay.
And at that time, I was already working for NAG Online, which is just the online offshoot of NAG Magazine, which RIP.
Yeah.
So I was working there, then I wanted to go to college and just get stuff or like study things that would help me become like a better writer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I just found that I couldn't study. I just couldn't study with people who didn't seem like they actually cared about what they were doing. So that completely fell off for me. So I went full on into writing again. So stayed at NAG, then switched over to IGN Africa, then back to NAG. And then one day my brother-in-law just sent me a link to a Carbonite posting from Brett at UFD Tech, which who was the like top SA tech YouTuber. And I think he's at like 350,000 subs now that he's back in America. But when I started at his channel, I think about 2 years ago, he had, I think, 28,000 subs.
Okay.
So I kind of just replied to that. He was like, okay, send me a sample of your writing, because he wanted a script writer. And off we went from there.
Wow.
And then that's where I kind of learned most of my YouTube things, just by watching like our cameraman and editor doing their thing.
Yeah.
Not really taking anything in, because I was there exclusively to write scripts. So I had like secondhand knowledge of how to do things.
Okay.
And then after I left UFD Tech, I was just like, maybe I should finally just like start my own channel. And it kind of went off from there. Like, I just wanted to start the channel so that I could teach myself all of these things that I didn't know about YouTube, like editing, filming, everything like that, just to teach myself that and maybe get a job at a different channel, because I did love the work I was doing.
Yeah.
And then it just turned out that people actually watched my videos, and I was like, well, maybe I can actually do this professionally. It's just by pure chance.
And here we are. Well, dude, I mean, how long have you had the channel?
It's been about, I think, coming up on 2 years now.
Okay.
Or like a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Though the whole thing's kind of fuzzy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, coming up on 2 years.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've had my channel for like about 3.5 years. But I would say it's interesting because I have this, like, also about 2 years ago, I was like, I want to do this YouTube thing. I would really like the channel to grow so that it can supplement my income and who knows, maybe get someone to run my business and do YouTube full time or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it's interesting that it's been a hard grind. Like, in terms of getting subscribers, and like we were discussing how like I just don't seem to always get the views. Like being in South Africa, and we were talking about getting connections, like, you know, getting like deals with companies and stuff, and getting kickbacks on the products and all those sort of things. I find the viewership doesn't need to be that high in South Africa for you to get the networking. Like these headphones, I've had like lots of guys reach out to me as like a tech expert. They're like, okay, Aiden, I want to know which phone I should buy. I've never done a phone review. And they're like, should I get the Huawei or should I get the Samsung? And I like quickly Google. I'm like, you know, I've got a general like rule of thumb thoughts about phones because I'm passionate about tech, but I've never done a review. But because I did the headphones, they contact me. So I definitely think for people watching this and listening to this, the takeaway for South African content creators is like, because that, you know, I'm worried they go onto your channel now. And like, I also found it quite intimidating, like 20, 30,000, it's like huge videos, and think, oh, I could never do that. But the thing is, even at a small stage, you're going to get viewership and it's going to create opportunities for you, you know?
Exactly that. I think the biggest hurdle is just actually getting started.
Yeah.
Because that, if you don't start doing something about it, you're never going to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think the exact same thing happened to me right after I left UFD Tech. I got a few months of a buffer there between leaving there and having to like get a day job or whatever. And in that time, I was like, I'm going to finally start this YouTube thing. And it took me like 2 or 3 months to actually work up the courage to be finally just be like, you know what? Screw it. Set up my phone. Just using the phone audio, phone video, no special apps installed, like automatic ISO levels. It was terrible. And that's the first video I ever uploaded. But luckily, because of like what I've learned from having worked at UFD Tech, I was like, I'm going to clickbait this thumbnail. I'm going to clickbait this title. Yes. And to this day, it is my very first video is still my highest viewed video on my channel. Yeah, so I got really, really lucky with that.
Yeah, well, on that note, my worst video, I haven't hit 100,000 on any of my videos yet, but my worst video is at 87,000 I checked the other day. And it's a terrible video. Like, the topic sucks. It was a fun video. Like, my personality's still there and all that kind of thing. It's a drone video. Yeah. I was like super into drones. And 87,000. And now, because it's outdated, people keep commenting, oh, this is bullshit, you know. And I'm just like, I keep it there because it's got lots of views. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, it does suck that the videos you think will do the best and you think, like, I'm going to put in so much work, are the ones that people just don't seem to care about.
Yeah.
And then you'd upload something that, I don't know, that you just feel compelled to do.
Yeah.
And you don't put as much effort into it and that one blows up. It's like, what is happening?
It's absolute madness. Yeah, bro. I feel your pain. So let's talk a little bit about like monetization and that, because obviously, like, sometimes it gets a little bit controversial. It's, you know, a lot of the YouTubers now, what they do is they go, so and so sent me this product. They don't see the video until you see it, and I'm under no obligation to take it off if they don't like it, kind of thing. How do you navigate that in terms of, you know, like, I don't know how your brand deals work. Like, you mentioned MSI and you mentioned like Wootware in the beginning. Like, how are you navigating that, sort of like the ethics of it all? And then also, like, how is that turning into money for you?
Well, first of all, it doesn't really translate into money for me from them.
Okay.
That is where my ethics kind of comes in.
Yeah.
Is if you're being paid for any specific product, you can't do a review about that.
Yes.
You cannot do a review about a product you have been paid to review.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. Like, once you cross that line, for me, it's like,
you lose credibility.
I don't feel comfortable with it. Mm. But a lot of people do that and they still give like their honest opinions. So there's a way to do that. I just feel like if I went down that road, it's a slippery slope into just like being a paid shill, as the people like to call it.
Yeah.
I reached out to MSI, Asus, and a few others. MSI got back to me, did a few videos with them, then Asus got back to me. And it's just, they're like, okay, we'll send you this graphics card or whatever. You do a review, you send the card back, and that's fine for me. Because the whole thing for me is I need hardware to make content.
Exactly.
I can't run a tech YouTube channel without the hardware to actually show on it. So just having that alone is already enough for me from them. And the thing with Wootware is they actually worked really closely with UFD Tech when I was still working there, and they were just fantastic about everything.
Oh, cool.
UFD Tech never had any monetary compensation for them for anything, but whenever like we needed anything, we could just ask Wootware and they would send the stuff. Really? So once I left UFD Tech, I reached out to them again. Really? I'm like, could you guys help me out? And they were like, okay, sure. We'll send you something. I think the first thing they sent me was a case, the one that's behind me right now.
How cool.
Over there. Afterwards, they were just like, oh, you can keep that. I'm like, okay.
Sweet.
So that's actually the first review product I've ever been able to keep. And they're just a really like good retailer to work with, who's like, there are other e-tailers that just have horrific customer service.
I've heard so.
And I've never heard a single bad thing about them. So yes. I'm really happy to like work with them.
Okay, cool.
But none of these are...
I'm actually going to... Because I've been surfing. I actually haven't really been on Wootware. So I just went on my phone just to have a look, because I'm in the market for a laptop. So I'm going to go check them out.
Yeah, they actually have a range of... They call them Wootbooks, which are the cheapest way to get whatever specific processor or graphics card you're looking for.
I see. And they build
they're
kind
of... Yeah, they're bare bones. You pick the parts and it usually comes in cheaper than any of the other brands.
Okay.
Just because they do use like a pre-built kind of system.
Yes.
So you just add what you want and it works out less.
Interesting. So, okay, so how does that now so are you earning any money from your channel? Is it just AdSense?
From next month, the channel should be fully self-sustaining.
Really?
Which means just like paying awesome, my dude. Rent and...
Crazy.
It's fantastic. But because YouTube's fickle, I don't know whether that will actually keep going. Uh-huh. But with more videos coming out, I'm sure I'll stay at that level. But that's just rent and groceries for a couple of weeks. Like it's not fully like paying for everything, but it is self-sustaining from next month. And you said about the links for the headphones that are actually earning you more. Yeah. Before I was ever monetized on YouTube, I became an Amazon affiliate and just started dropping affiliate links. And that actually earned me more than, well, YouTube wasn't paying me at the time. So that was my exclusive source of income, that. And I think I had two Patreons on Patreon. So that was the only source of income. And then when I finally got monetized December of last year, I started earning more and more and more. It's kind of like half and half. Amazon affiliates and YouTube ad revenue at this point.
Okay, so that's monetization. So for anyone watching or listening, I think as a South African, I think the nice thing for them to know is it is possible. Like, I mean, you're sitting there and you're all, like very much right on the edge of becoming a full-time YouTuber. And for me, it gives me a lot of hope. Like, obviously we're on very different ends of the spectrum in terms of like our niche, but it does give me hope to know that I can get somewhere with this, you know.
There's definitely somewhere to go for anyone in any niche. In my personal opinion, pretty much anyone can make it on YouTube if they keep at it. There are videos that I've seen that have hundreds of thousands of views and this person has almost no subscribers, so obviously he's not monetized or whatever, but it would be a video of just a washing machine and hundreds of thousands of people watch it. Like, whatever you're doing right now that you enjoy doing, there is a market for it.
Yeah,
crazy to think about.
Yeah,
exactly. And if you keep at it, you will get there eventually.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're like me and you think you have a terrible presentation style and all of that stuff, you can do it.
Yeah.
Like,
I got to say, from my side, like watching you, you totally like, I mean, because I had already watched when I research something, I just put YouTube on and I keep watching and I put my headphones on and I like watch multiple things about the product. And you've fitted into that genre. Like your presentation is very much in niche, you know, like I don't think you need to down yourself too much on it. I think... Like the brick wall and everything. I like the look, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. I tried to put some thought into the backdrop. Mm. The only issue I have with my presentation is I'm not doing it often enough to get really better at it.
Okay.
So I'm currently, every video that I do is scripted.
Okay.
And that takes forever, first of all.
Okay.
And then when you're reading off of a script, it's really hard to do it in a natural way for me still. Mm. Yeah. So, and I've tried videos where I'm not scripted, and I think there are one or two on the channel that aren't scripted, and they're incredibly frustrating for me because I fall over my words and then I retake that same exact part like 20 times. And it's just, I can't do this. So I want to get to a point where I can actually just be natural talking about stuff.
I'm literally on the complete opposite end of that. Like I do script stuff, but I hate it because I fly off the cuff much better. And my videos where I don't script usually do better. I think like now talking to you, and I sent you as a joke, like these are my very sophisticated notes. That's how I do my YouTube channels. I literally have like five or six things down on my phone, on my tablet. If it's a big review, like I did a long review on the pro versions of these, and it was like a 7-8 minute video. And then I sat with like a long list of things, but no wording. Like sometimes I'll write it out, but I'll never follow it. Like I'm really on the opposite end of the scale.
Dude, I wish I could do that. Now, when I started my, because the reason I
had to leave UFD Tech where I was, was because we kind of stopped scripting stuff.
Okay.
And the stuff we, like I was asked to script, just didn't interest me at all anymore.
Okay.
And I think me and Brett both knew this. So we're just like, we can't really like make sense of this. Like you're here to write scripts. We don't really need scripts. You don't really want to do scripts. So, and then when I wanted to start my own channel, I was like, I'm not scripting anything. Like I'm tired of writing. I don't want to do any more writing. So I tried a few off the cuff videos and I hated every second of it. So I just tried a scripted video and here we are.
No, dude.
So it turns out that if you script for your own thing and build up your own thing, you enjoy doing that thing a lot more.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely, like, I used to not plan anything. And I definitely have seen the value in it. Because I started out wanting to be, like, a full-on vlogger. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's just so time-consuming, and I don't have time for it anymore with my business and that. So I became a bit more structured, like, where I'm sitting now with the camera there and the whole thing. This is, my new setup.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to make videos that way. And so the structure definitely like helps, just creates a more quality video for the viewer. I mean, even if you watch Casey Neistat's new stuff, I mean, I think what happened was when I started, I was watching Peter McKinnon and Casey Neistat, and both of them look like they just didn't plan anything, just pitched up on the day and just made a video. And they made it look that way, and I was still very new.
Yeah, but that's not the case
at all. And it's not the, I mean, I've since learned that, okay, Casey Neistat, I think, did start out on his own, but very soon, you know, got an assistant. And now I'm pretty sure there's at least two or three people working behind the scenes to make his vlog happen.
Oh, for sure.
So we 100%. Mustn't be put in under the illusion that just pitching up and making a video is the way that the pros do it, because very few of them do it that way, you know?
No, there's no way to do what Casey Neistat does without some sort of help. Or some sort of gap between the videos.
Yes.
Because like releasing every day, like he's just recently started doing again, you can't do that as just a one-man dude with, well, he used to do everyday releases, but it wasn't as technically complicated, I would say.
Yeah.
With the new stuff, it's very short. He like does a ton of small, smart shots that just look amazing.
Yes.
And that you can't get with just like him setting up a camera. Mm.
No, on that note, I know a bit of the behind the scenes there. I know a friend of a friend who worked for Casey Neistat. And even when Dan Mace went
Is it Dan Mace?
Yeah, well, no, I don't know Dan Mace. I know the guy who worked for Dan Mace. And and then I know his friend. So like, anyway, I get a little bit of the gossip in that. And like, so even at that point, it wasn't just Dan Mace in New York working for him. There was also a guy in Cape Town doing editing and stuff for them. So like, you know what I mean? Even that presentation of, oh, this guy's come to help me, there was still someone behind the scenes helping them, you know? So, you know, there's always a story behind the story.
Yeah, I think there's, it's very smart to like create the illusion that you're doing everything yourself when the reality is very different, just because it makes people feel like more connected to you as like a personality.
Yeah.
Because if they know that this other person is actually putting your videos together or doing this for you, it's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, on that note, actually, because I don't know if you get, I get very sort of tired of watching people in my niche, like camera reviews and stuff. I love all the guys in my niche. Like I follow them all on Twitter and they're all like such nice people. But I get very frustrated watching people that are all younger than me and doing better than me, you know, so it gets very tiring watching that. So,
yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. You must check out a guy by the name of Cody Warner, and he does do everything himself. He's doing daily vlogging right now.
Oh, dang.
And he's just very inspiring. Like to see he's not trying to create any illusions that he's doing it himself. I mean, that he's got people behind the scenes. It's just him and his wife and his kid. I think he's got a kid. But anyway, it's very inspiring to watch. So go check out Cody Warner. I think he's nice for creators to watch because he like inspires you a bit, you know?
Even though like I'll watch younger people who are way more successful than I ever was at that age.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Like I'm happy you're actually doing something.
Yeah.
Because my whole thing is I don't see any other YouTuber as like competition or something to look down on, or I wouldn't say look up to. I do look up to a lot of creators, but I don't put myself in the same kind of level as anyone else. I'm just doing my own thing. If it works out for me, great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. And anyone else who does it better, gets more views, actually makes a success of themselves and the channel, good on you. Like,
yeah, and it only pushes us all forward, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So whenever a YouTuber does well, especially if it's a local YouTuber, I'm like super hyped, because it's just, if you have better channels on YouTube, you'll have more people on YouTube.
That's it.
And
exactly.
That's good for everyone.
Yes. And that's, let's segue into that, because we had a little bit of a moan before we started doing this, but like, it is a bit frustrating in the South African market where guys just don't seem to see that, you know? Okay, I reached out to a couple of guys, but they were all quite a bit further ahead than me in terms of subscribers and that. But it's,
yeah.
I don't know, like some guys have got inflated subscriber bases for whatever reason, because you see their engagement and it's not that high and what have you. And I just don't know why, I don't know why people don't want to collaborate, you know? Like doing something like this with yourself, it's not that easy to set up with South African creators.
I didn't even think of doing it at all.
Because of the vibe.
The thing for me is I know no one's going to collab. Like that's just the mindset you have. I don't think that's just the South African thing. I think that might be a kind of worldwide thing with YouTube maybe. But I think especially so here in South Africa, it's just like, it's me versus you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're in the same niche or not, it's me versus you. So I'm not gonna interact with you. And that whole thing is just like, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
So I'm reaching out to all the tech channels I can that are based in South Africa. Like WeDo Tech's another great one, and we have good repertoire. As soon as like some of the products that get sent to me are done, it goes straight to him. And I think I sent him like a letter in the box once, like, oh, sorry, it came a little late. So there's this sense of community I'm trying to build with just my fellow tech YouTubers. And I don't think that's a mindset that anyone else seems to have.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating because it can help both channels in any collab.
Exactly. I mean,
it just frustrates me.
There's actually, when you start thinking about it, there's so much scope for collaboration. I mean, I get a little bit frustrated being in George because, you know, like for instance, like let's say you get a laptop and you're like, this is a great creator laptop. Let's get a creator into the office and have a little chat and then we do a thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's difficult to do that anyway. That's a bit of a negative, but it is a frustration.
Yeah, like... For that specific laptop review, it would have been great to have someone who actually would use it the way a creative would to actually test it and give me their notes on it.
Yeah.
But it's so like you're on an island, no matter where you are in South Africa. If you're trying to do creative stuff and you have under, say, 50,000 subscribers, you're on this tiny little island and no one just acknowledges you.
Yeah. But on the positive though, and I mean, you can translate this however you want in your tech world, is after this 48 hour, that video that you saw on my channel, the 48 hour challenge, since we did that, like this is a business. I mean, they're in George, they're trying to bring production houses to George. So they, instead of going, how can we do this ourselves? They're like, let's think of a way to use our community to build the industry as a whole. So they did the competition.
Yeah.
Now they've got the opportunity to kind of, they're like, oh, look, there's all these good. So they win because they get to see all the good producers in the town. We all get meet each other. I've already, like the guy who won the competition, we've been chatting on WhatsApp and want to go for coffee. And I think it's important to keep pushing and building that community, because there definitely are guys out there. We've just got to find them, you know?
I mean, just using WeDo Tech as an example, he has over, what, I think 80 or something thousand subs right now.
Wow.
And he does great work and all of that. And I previously had contact with him because I was at UFD Tech. But he's, since I left there, we've just been kind of chatting around. And doing that is so beneficial because not only do you like get bounce ideas off each other or product stuff, like, what did you think about this? It's also about keeping the companies in check in a way, Like, what are you getting? What are they promising you? This is what they're promising
me. Okay, cool. Create a little community. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, exactly. So if we have that kind of thing going, then we don't have to be under the thumb of certain companies who try to push their luck.
Yes.
And that's one of the big benefits that I think a lot of South African creators are just missing out on by sticking on their little island.
Yeah, I know. We need to keep pushing, man. Well, I'm very excited to see that you are actually like about to just basically become a full-time YouTuber. And I think maybe I just saw that. Like when I saw your channel, I was like, I don't know how many subs you're on right now, but I saw your subs and I saw the quality of your video. And I was like, this guy's about to be a full-time guy. Like, you know, and I think you give off that vibe as well, which I think is quite cool. You definitely just look like, I think maybe it's the experience that you've had in that, but you look like you've been doing it for years. So when I saw your subscriber base, I was like, I need to get him now before he's got 80,000 and he's like too big for me, you know?
Well, I really appreciate that, man. Like, I don't see it like that at all.
No, dude, I think you're about to blow up. I definitely do.
We just hit 4K and that was already more than like I ever expected.
Yes.
Especially in like the year I've been monetized.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to take a whole lot longer.
Mm.
But no, man, I really, really appreciate that you kind of sense that in the videos.
Cool. We've probably done that in the video, but given the last sort of 2 years, what would you say is some advice you can give guys that are trying to get into this?
Just start. Honestly, even when I was working at NAG, like maybe 5 years ago, I told myself that YouTube is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
I don't read news websites anymore. I don't like do any mainstream media things anymore.
Mm.
So why would I want to like stick with mainstream media?
Yeah.
Eventually we need to move on.
Mm.
And so for like 5 years, I've just been thinking I should start my channel. And every time it comes to that point, I'm just like, eh, I'm not going to make it. It's not going to work out.
Okay.
And then just doing the first video and realizing, hey, I actually really enjoy editing. I enjoy the setting up of everything, getting good shots, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And just doing it is the best way to start doing it, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Like, yeah. Unless you force yourself to start, you're never going to start.
Yeah.
So just start. No. I've just spoken to a lot of people who are like, oh, well, how do you get people to send you stuff? And how did you start your channel? I want to do the same thing. And I'm just like, well, what have you started so far? And the answer is always nothing. I've only thought about it.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't have the gear. I don't have the mic, the anything.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need that. I just watched your video about the cheapest YouTube setup.
Yes.
And it's like, that's exactly it. If you have a phone, you have a YouTube channel.
That's it.
That's just the whole thing.
Yeah.
If you have that, you can start.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just start when, as soon as the inspiration hits that you might actually want to start something creative, just actually start it.
Yeah.
Force yourself to if you have to.
Mm. No, I fully agree. It's so funny because I listen to a lot of these sort of podcasts and I would say 80% of the people say that at the end. They say, just start.
Yeah.
Like, get going with the thing. Like, and I have the same experience because I'm very much a just do the thing. Like, shut up and do it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Stop talking to me and go do the thing. Like, have you done it yet? You know, that's kind of my like mentality, which is I'm a little bit on the extreme side and I probably like burn myself out from time to time. But it's the biggest thing is people, like, especially I connect with a lot of young guys and they talk to me about, you know, I really want to be this. And then I'll be like, okay, have you done it? No, but I need this. Man, like, if you're going to get no, but you're just never going to do that thing. Like, if you want to be a photographer, take photos. No, but I don't only have a Canon this. I'm like, it's a camera. Like, and if you don't have a camera, use your phone. Like, shut up and do it, you know? It's a big thing.
No, I think there's just this massive misconception that you need the right gear to do anything.
Yes.
Which is not the case anymore.
No.
That might have been the case 20 years ago before we had smartphones.
Yeah.
But now this little thing does everything
possible
to get a start online.
Decent audio, decent video. That's all you need, man. Get going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even if you want to do just photography, look at some Instagram accounts that are exclusively using phones.
Yeah.
They'll still have hundreds and thousands and millions of followers.
Exactly. And it pushes you to be creative.
Doing it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I'm actually an example of how high production doesn't get you the viewership. But like, I mean, that last video I produced was probably one of my best produced tech videos I've ever made. And it's still only got like 100 views. You know, it's not about the production. It's about the content, you know? So just start making.
Yeah, that's also just the nature of YouTube. Yes. Is if people aren't searching for that specific thing
at that moment,
then they're not going to find that specific thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's like, I'll be 100% honest. I think like 90% of my traffic is just like YouTube search.
Yeah.
Like people searching for a specific product and then I pop up.
Yeah.
And once you start learning how to use YouTube and learning your SEO correctly, then you'll show up in search. And when you do, people will click on your video.
Cool.
And it's very hard to do that with certain products that aren't as searchable.
Yes.
So I did a review on this Rode mic that I'm using right now when I just started out.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't do really well. I went back a few weeks ago and changed a lot of things according to like what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And it still wasn't being picked up in search at all. Okay. So it's like partly up to YouTube's fickle algorithm and just trying your best to make your stuff as searchable as possible.
Okay, cool.
Because building an audience just off of like yourself is really hard on YouTube because people need to find you in order to subscribe to you.
Yeah.
So unless you're marketing yourself on social media really hard to get people to YouTube to watch you, then it's really tough to build a community like that.
Yeah, that's true.
And I just appreciate you having me on, man.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great to just connect. I hope everyone got something out of that. If you are still watching, thank you so much. This has definitely been like enlightening for me. I think anyone in South Africa who is creative, I think this is motivation to say, you know, starting a YouTube channel is there's so much power in it. And even like, you know, Tank is about to go full time where he can do it as a job. For me, I have a business that gets boosted by the fact that I make videos on a regular basis. Like people see me as an authority in certain areas. It definitely does have a lot of value more than just making AdSense money, you know. So thanks so much for watching. Thanks, Tank, for being on. And I really look forward to like, you were below 4,000 when I saw your channel. So you're definitely growing faster than me. So.
I'll just blame that on the RTX 30 cards.
Yes. Yeah, that has been blowing up, I must say. Cool, bro. Thanks.
Yeah, thankfully.
All right.